Kingdom History, Episode 4, Pol Pot. We're joined by Dave, Austin, yours truly, Ben.
We're talking about Pol Pot. That's who we're talking about.
Jump into it.
An individual among many. Among many, you know, what would you call that part of Asia?
Southeast Asia.
Right. He's born in a little place called, and Austin, we're going to come to you for this, a lot of this Asian pronunciation. Hopefully that the months that you've been in Asia, you could have picked something up.
The one country I avoided.
Which
Cambodia.
One? Cambodia. Oh, you didn't go to Cambodia?
I did not.
Okay. You went to Vietnam. They're pretty intertwined.
And Laos.
Cambodia.
I went to all the bordering countries.
Well, Cambodia, 1925, is under French rule. They're a colony of France, along with Vietnam and the one up there, Laos. Okay? Pol Pot is born by the name of
Saloth Zar.
Saloth Zar in Prabek Sbavov, Cambodia.
That
is that right?
Right?
Beautiful.
It's impossible. It's impossible. It's just, it's not impossible, but it, even with Spanish, there's parts of the language I can't say. Like rolling your R's, I cannot roll my R's. Can you roll yours?
You're not Spanish.
I know, but it's a not, I could, if I was there and I heard it enough, I could do it.
It's because, I don't know what they're called. They're not diphthongs or something like that.
Diphthongs.
There's like 150 different sounds you can make with your mouth, and babies can make all of them, mm-hmm. but then you like forget all the ones that aren't in your language. Like, you know, the clicking, the.
Yes.
You know that?
Yes.
Like, we can't do that.
Okay, that makes sense.
Or like the Chinese ones. I have a Chinese friend. And he tells us his name in Chinese. Chin Fu.
But it's the diphthongs.
But it's like, I can't say it. He's like, no, you're saying it wrong. And I'm like,
but can you
dude,
learn
I'm saying
that,
exactly
though?
What you're saying.
Yes, you can learn it.
Rolling
you can
R's
learn it.
Was like a genetic thing.
No.
It's not genetic. You can learn it.
Practice.
It's nurture. It's being around it. It's being involved with it in your early life.
Thank you.
And talk about things that affect you when you're little. Mm-hmm. Our boy, Saloth Zar, was in Cambodia. They were a French colony, and that's a point of contention for Cambodian people. They do not like it, okay? But the thing is, most of the people that were affected by it didn't have the life that Pol Pot, or I don't want to say Saloth Zar, this whole beginning, Pol Pot. That's
who
we're
talking
about.
He's not Pol Pot yet.
I know he's not Pol Pot yet.
It's like you're watching Star Wars Episode 1, and you call the little kid Darth Vader.
You're right, like, Saloth Zar.
It's just not who he is.
You're 100% right, and I'm sorry I did that. Saloth Zar. Saloth Zar, he didn't get affected the same way the rest of the Cambodian people did because he was in part of like a wealthy family. Mm-hmm. His mm-hmm. father owned like 50 acres of rice paddies and farms, so he's kind of a rich kid in this. But you know, when you're different than somebody in your fucking school, you're not part of them, you want to be part of the cool kids. He started fucking hating French people and French government, the people that are colonizing them. This becomes a big thing with his ideology.
He, like, chose to identify with the peasants.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And, like, kind of masqueraded as one, even though he wasn't one.
Even though he wasn't. And in school, he sucked. He didn't give a fuck about school. He didn't at all. And his parents
were total opposite of Douglas.
Oh, my God. Talk about two different men. Douglas MacArthur, he goes to school and he leads because he's a leader. And I'm not saying this just because this guy's Cambodian and Douglas MacArthur is fucking...
Pol Pot was a leader, just not a very good one.
He was a leader, but he wasn't an honorable. He was a leader of evil, bro. He was the Sith. Pol Pot is Sith.
Darth Vader.
He is Darth... I mean...
And Douglas MacArthur's like fucking Luke Skywalker.
He's like Obi-Wan Kenobi if Obi-Wan Kenobi wanted again, as we repeated last one, nuke China, which Douglas MacArthur didn't want to do. But he decided, well, he didn't really decide, but anyway, that's another whole...
Listen to last week's episode if you want to hear
exactly.
about Douglas MacArthur and the nukes.
And the nukes. And the fucking nukes. So, fuck. Where were we at? Oh, no, he hated
Shot.
School. Yeah, he was awful at school. And because, I mean, he could have probably, if he applied himself, he could have been good. And
yep.
his parents wanted him to be an intellectual. Like, they're from, they made all this money, and they're like, we can... I mean, this is the age of science he's born up. This is Einstein and fucking Oppenheimer and all these physics. They're like, we can raise this
They weren't
this
quite
kid.
Around that, but...
Einstein was 1925. When he's growing up, like 1930-ish, that's when the physics boom popped, bro.
You think they had access to all that knowledge in Cambodia? Were they flourishing at that time?
Well, when he got sent to school, he was a radio
electronics
guy, which is, working on the atom bomb, but it's, you know, he's trying to...
Advancing his country.
They want him to get an education and do something good for himself and make a name for their family, maybe. Maybe even outside of Cambodia. Which is what they do. They send him on a scholarship. I don't know how he gets it if he was so shitty in school. That was one of the things. Did you find anything on that?
Did they just have money, his family, because they were wealthy? And
yeah, I heard something about that, and it was something weird. Like, it was almost like a field trip or like a study abroad type program where he got to pick between different opportunities.
Okay.
And he picked to go to France. Another one was like Lithuania he could have gone to.
Also, what did he do in World War II? Everything I found during World War II era is
he was in school, right?
Well, he went to school. He traveled
went to school after World
1949, War II. 1949, he traveled to school.
Yeah, yeah. So it was after the age. I mean, it probably, they were kind of in a bubble enough away from all the rest of the fighting.
Okay.
Because they're so far.
The only really fighting in the West, the East was Japan.
Up north.
Yeah. Okay.
They didn't go all the way down to Cambodia.
Okay. I thought Japan occupied Cambodia. But
Douglas. It didn't go that far, right? Douglas fled to the Philippines. Or Douglas was in the Philippines.
But Philippines is like attached, and they took Laos.
No.
Philippines is far
away from Cambodia.
Oh, sorry. I'm thinking of Vietnam. Sorry. I just was thinking. Philippines, you're right. You're right. They didn't. But I thought something was happening in Laos. Maybe I'm wrong. All right.
There's always shit happening in Laos. It has three names on the map.
Most bombed country in the world.
Laos?
Okay. Laos is during Vietnam War.
Crazy.
Same with Cambodia. Cambodia.
Yeah. Well, it was literally like right on that border.
Yeah.
We'll talk about 1941,
it.
The Japanese ousted the French from Cambodia.
Yeah. That's how when they, yeah.
And then 1946, after the war ended, France reasserted control over Cambodia. So they took it back.
Anyway, his parents throw him to France to go to school because they want him to fucking be something with his life. But you know what? He gets there and he finds people like him, like-minded, communists. He gets in with the Communist Party over in fucking Paris, and he fucks off from school, and he goes there, and he makes friends, and he doesn't pay attention to class, and then he even fails. He fails out of there. He misses the two big exams he has, fails them, because he's too busy. I mean, just like, you can see, this is why they get on kids in school. They could be Pol Pot. These fuck-offs, you know? Mm-hmm. These kids that they think school is not important for them. Well, hey, guess what? You don't want to turn into Pol Pot. Maybe we should start teaching that to kids in school.
Yes, it is infamous, but maybe the people that are fucking off, though, are doing bigger, better things.
Yeah, like Pol Pot?
Yeah, and like, I mean...
Mark Zuckerberg.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Zuckerberg, they don't need to go to class because it's below them.
Anyway.
Obviously, it turned out bad. But.
Yeah, I'm just trying to hit it off. That's right. That's what you get for fucking saying that.
Get your foot off.
You should have just agreed with it, and then I kind of fucking kick that down. Anyway.
Get your foot off. Pull
by, sorry, I'm spinning. You know me. I just got to spin. He fucks off in school, fails the exams, but... I believe when he was there, is this when he got the name, he gave himself the name Pol Pot?
I don't think it was till after he took the rule.
Can we start just calling him that? I'm tired of his name. His name got changed to Pol Pot, and I can introduce this because it's when he starts getting into communism that he starts to get these ideas. He gives himself the name Pol Pot, which is short for Politique Potentielle, which is French. He's a fucking French cuck, by the way. He sticks with their language. Whatever. Whatever that name was, Pol Pot, he's calling a shot. He's saying, right now, I'm going to have a future in the government. I'm going to be something. I'm going to call shots one day. So he was communist, and he finds out that, you know, he's got to all these people. The people in France that he meets, he meets in these Communist Party meetings, end up being the guys that are part of the, Khmer Rouge. A lot of these guys were... you know, leading with him, he met them in France. This Communist Party took him in and they rolled with him. And there was some research that I got, and I don't know the timelines. This might have been after he fled from Cambodia, after the prince made him leave. But Mao met with him. He, spent time in China. Mm-hmm. They taught him ideologies.
They were buds.
They were buds.
Yeah. I read something his parents were like talking about his childhood, and it was like, oh, they had such big aspirations for him, and he was just like this innocent kid. Mm-hmm. And it was like, didn't know he was going to be freaking teaming up with the deadliest dictator of all time. That's right, Austin. Fact check: Mao Zedong, deadliest dictator of all time.
Yep,
sounds about right.
Definitely
in modern era, yeah.
He did it all to his. Same with
modern era. There's way more people.
What about Genghis Khan?
I think Mao like dwarfs the numbers.
I'm pretty sure. Well, Mao, you know,
crazy.
Yeah,
it's like 10x the Holocaust.
But Mao, yeah. But no, but Genghis Khan, and I'm not like propping up Genghis Khan, but it's way more honorable because. Most of the people that Mao and fucking Pol Pot killed are their own civilians.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's pretty fucked. Yeah, they're fucking like, true.
They have the grips around them and they're strangling them at every fucking turn. Genghis Khan was like a warrior. He was beheading. I think like a good percentage of the population today is Mongolian, specifically because of the Khan dynasty. So I think they conquered and raped their way to infamy. And maybe you're Mongolian. Maybe you are. Maybe
not,
I am.
I did Ancestry. I'm not Mongolian.
Well, how is that compared to 23andMe?
I don't know. I didn't do that one.
So he returns from France.
Back on track.
Failing all of this shit. He returns from France. Year he returns.
1953.
The year he returns, Cambodia. Cambodia finally gains its independence from France. And, Cambodia takes its independence. King Norodom, this is another name, Sihanouk. Can one of you guys say that? How about one of you guys stop being cowards and take a shot?
Say it. What the hell did you print say? Because that doesn't even look like the name I have.
Norodom.
It's definitely Norodom.
Sihanouk.
Sihanouk.
Norodom Sihanouk.
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 No, this dude right here, dude. Prince Norodom. Oh, it's probably his son because they have their last name first.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, he was in exile. He's like a monarchy of Cambodia. French thing ends. They're out. And Cambodia brings this guy back. And he's 22. He's young. And his idea is like World War II, all this shit. Let's just be neutral. And maybe if we stay the fuck out of everyone's way and we just live... to ourselves, you know? Not have these war stances all the time and fighting. Maybe we can be good, you know? Maybe.
This is Norodom or Pol Pot?
No, this is Norodom. Sihanouk.
Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't sound like Pol Pot.
No, this guy was actually liked by his people because he kind of, they were peaceful during his time. So while that's happening, Pol Pot is like involving himself deep in the activities of the Cambodian Communist Party.
Which he's essentially the founder.
Essentially. He gets there and he gets to work.
Because this is like beginning of communism like throughout the world. So while I was just in France, he went to Yugoslavia. And then there, they were like one of the first kind of communist regimes popping up. Mm-hmm. And like they learned a bunch from them. And that fueled like the French Communist Party. And then he brought those ideas back. Mao was doing his thing in China. USSR is popping off right now.
Correct.
So now we got Cambodia.
Yeah, 1953. This is right when the Korean War is ending. Like directly after.
Did you read about the like rigged election kind of deal?
No.
So like I guess it's Sihanouk. The king
mm-hmm.
like steps down to like be pro democracy. So the king says, I'm gonna step down. And then I'm going to run in, like, our election.
Mm-hmm.
So in that election, there's, like, the King's Party. Then there's, like, the Cambodian Democratic Party. And then Pol Pot has this, like, secret ring of, like, the Pol Pot Communist Party.
Yeah. The dogs.
That, like, no one knew about.
Mm-hmm.
They swept the entire election. Literally, like, got won every single thing.
The Communist Party did?
Yeah, and they like took over.
What
That's
year
how
was
he
this?
Took over.
This was later, though.
Is that later?
Yeah.
This was later.
Because he didn't have control.
Because he starts.
Sorry.
He starts teaching.
Yeah.
While he's doing this, he's building up the Cambodian party.
I jumped ahead.
You're all good. He pursues teaching. Weird archetype to think would become a psychopath dictator. Makes sense, though. You know, he wants to have effects on the minds of the young. He wants to kind of build a cult-like regime. It's kind of like Hitler. And while he's doing this, he's getting really good at fucking speaking, dude.
Yeah, and at this time, too, that's when he starts getting some movement. And it's all, like, on the eastern mountains. They're kind of these people that are away,
mm-hmm.
kind of like an intellectual group that are just staying in the shadows,
mm-hmm.
not involving themselves in everything else in
mm-hmm.
the city life. Which is where he kind of gained his...
most of his... like, it's a lot of young guys that are listening to him speak. That happens a little... That starts to happen more and more later.
Yeah.
But while he's doing this, he's pursuing teaching. Taught history, geography, French literature.
What a guy.
Gay. No, bro. It's not. He's a cuck for France. He talks about all this French Revolution stuff. I want to be free from France. And then he's teaching French literature. And speak, and, you know, giving himself French names. Sure. Sure, dude. But he's a teacher. Mao, by the way, teacher too. He was a teacher when he was younger, too. And again, maybe it's a dictator.
Maybe it's a way, yeah, also to influence people that they might think that they can spread their word through their teaching.
Exactly. Did you have any teachers you thought might have been a potential Pol Pot? whatever it was. But anyway, he gets married while doing this, too. So he's like... You know, there could have been a life where he just teaches. He just teaches with his wife. And he doesn't need to torture and murder everybody. Okay?
His own people.
He doesn't have to be egregious with it. But he's doing that. And he's part of the Communist Party. But he's really, like, twisting the ideologies of what it... Like, he's making a hybrid version of, like, Marxist-Leninism... And it's a lot like the Nazi Party because it's like a cult regime where it's these loose sense of ideologies where people really don't have a wrap on them. And it's all tied together by this one political figure that's charismatic, that speaks well, that is like, it's a cult-like regime. That's how it was for Pol Pot, just like how it was for Hitler. And he becomes the leader of the Communist Party, 1960. Okay? So, 1960 we're at. We're going to give a Vietnam War update because it plays a lot into Cambodia and it plays a lot into Pol Pot taking his power. Right?
Yep.
Yep.
Vietnam War.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you know about it? Where do you think it started?
Why do I think it started?
Same reason they all fucking start.
Communism.
Well... You can say communism, but yes, it's these two sides fighting.
Yeah.
It's the same way with the Korean War, where they split in half, and, you know...
I would say most wars are two sides fighting.
Well, proxy. I'm saying, no. That's
exactly. It's
not
US
what I'm,
versus China.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying proxy wars. There's two superpowers, and they're not really fighting active hot wars, but they are having these smaller countries.
Mm-hmm.
They did it in Israel and Iran, they did it in Ethiopia and Somalia, they did it in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
It was each of them are funding these guys, and they're all fucking dying for this bigger ideology, which is communism versus capitalism. Basically, communism versus anti-communism, because America really gets twisted, like, out of capitalism, kind of, by corporations. We're not going to talk about that right now. We're talking about fucking Cambodia. But still, it's these two big ideologies. So, World War II ends... French leaves. Vietnam kicks them out, splits into two sides, North and the South. Both, just like in Korea, ruled by ruthless dictators. These guys are fucking evil, okay? And they're killing a lot of people. Blood is on the mind, and they're both trying to reunite Vietnam. Just like the two in Korea, we're trying to reunite Korea. And the North is a communist regime. South, anti-communist regime. And the North starts attacking the South. We sent advisors there, like, in the probably 1950s, I would say, but 1960s, which were preparing them to attack or defend from an attack from the North.
I didn't bring a cup.
Pass it on. If
all
I take
yours.
One, you take one?
Sure.
I'll take one.
Take one. It's a fucking, it's a sip of alcohol.
Vietnam War. Sorry, dude. I'm not built like that.
Like LSD.
It'd be so funny if you dosed me with LSD right now after saying that. So the North is funded by the communists and the Soviets. The South is not really funded right now. It's just advisors. By the way, during World War II, a lot of these Viet Congs, they learned to fight guerrilla warfare because we came in and they taught them how to fuck people up. We taught them how to fuck up soldiers like that. I forgot who we were having them fight, but we taught them the tactics that they used against us in the Vietnam War.
I'm pretty sure I learned that from The Karate Kid.
In The Karate Kid, they taught that?
In the Cobra Kai. Did you watch that?
Yeah, a little bit.
That's like the sensei, the Cobra Kai sensei.
His sensei?
No. Like he, it might have been, I think he was in the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. He gets like captured over there and they teach him this fighting style, which is like the Cobra Kai fighting style. He brings it back to America and just like makes it this like dojo of bullies. So they're built. We know about the Karate Kid. Yeah.
Yeah, we all know about the Karate Kid. Do you know about Nick Cage, National Treasure?
Fuck, dude. Oh, yeah. We're talking about Nick Cage again?
No, we're not going to talk about him.
Okay, I love Nick Cage.
So the North was being supported, funded by the Soviets. They're fighting them. They start getting, it gets hot. And Lyndon B. Johnson decides, off of the thinking of America, which was the domino effect. They feared the domino effect. They feared one's going to fall to communists, the next one is. They're all going to start falling to communists, and we need to stop this now. They send in troops, and the Vietnam War begins. And our prince, by the way, Pol Pot at the time, he is just building up that regime, building up that party.
They, like, the Vietnam's leaders, it's North and South, kind of knew about him. Mm-hmm. But they're like, we don't have time to deal with this shit because they're busy in a war. So they just kind of like let him do his thing.
Mm-hmm. And he was never a threat really to them. He was kind of just doing his own thing in his own country. Let him kill himself, right?
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay.
I feel it, but it's like they're right next to each other. It's like they kind of have some stake in the game.
So the prince, but the prince is still in charge. Prince Norodom Sihanouk. He's still in charge, and he still kind of wants to be neutral. He doesn't want any part of this war, but Vietnam's on his fucking shoulder. They're right next to them, dude. So he stays out of it, and the West comes to them. The West. I've been watching too many news articles, dude. I'm on Twitter too much. The West. America comes to them and is like, let's have aid. You know, I want to give you some U.S. aid. I want to help you. We don't want communism to take over you. Prince is like, I don't want any part of your aid. Fuck your aid. Denies them, rejects it. He kind of cozies up a little bit, which, not really. He stays neutral. And the guys, the Viet Cong communists, there is a trail that runs through Laos and through Cambodia called the Ho Chi Minh Trail. Mm-hmm. And the Viet Cong were using the Ho Chi Minh Trail as a way to, you know, maneuver their guerrilla warfare tactics. They're going through this, popping up, fucking up the U.S. military. I mean, the guys down there, they're just boys that got drafted into a war and they get sent to a jungle where these guys, this is their home. They've lived here.
Exactly.
And they're popping, they're setting booby traps. Your legs going through holes and like swords are coming out and stabbing you. You should go on YouTube and look up World War or Vietnam War booby traps. It's the scariest thing you'll ever see. So they're coming through the Ho Chi Minh Trail and our prince, he decides, you know, you can use it.
This is Norodom, right?
Yeah, Norodom. Right. You can use it. You can use the Ho Chi Minh Trail. We won't say anything about it. And, you know, maybe that's picking favorites, but America's bombing the shit out of the Ho Chi Minh Trail. Mm-hmm. And they're also not really saying anything to them either. So then Nixon, Richard Nixon, he becomes president.
I don't think he did anything bad, right? Nixon, we don't know how he's done that infamous.
Yeah, he's done some bad things, but this is, you know, the other bad things are shady, like, you know.
Watergate.
That's shady. You know, that there's a lot of things in there. This is pretty fucking bad. He wants to just, his idea is this tactic called the madman theory. And there were peace talks happening in Paris, so he really couldn't bomb North Vietnam. But he wanted to, he wanted an intimidation tactic. So he bombs the ever-loving shit out of Cambodia and Laos. Just bombs the fuck out. Because there are North Vietnam bases throughout there that they're hiding along the Ho Chi Minh Trail. Drops like so many bombs. Kills over 100,000 civilians. They're having peace talks. Cambodia is not in the war. They're not in the war. They just get bomb the fuck out of.
Yep.
Who does this help? Our boy Pol Pot. You forgot about him. He was just building up. He needed something else to help, you know, radicalize these young men to be part of the Khmer Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
Khmer Rouge.
Khmer Rouge.
That's French.
It's French.
Red Cambodians.
It's all French stuff. I know they were French colonies, but dude, if you're so mad at the French, pick a new name.
This flag, they have a flag.
Yeah.
At this point, they're the Communist Party of Kampuchea. They started out as the Kampuchean Labor Party
mm-hmm.
in 1959. And then 1966, they just said, fuck it. We're just going to come out and say we're communists.
Isn't that kind of the natural trail of all communism? Is there like, let's
labor
be for
party.
The laborers.
Yeah, exactly.
We work and then that.
But yeah. The flag is just like the exact same as the USSR flag.
Yeah.
It's just the hammer and the sickle. Like, they're not even unique.
The flag, is that Khmer Rouge or is
the
that Cambodia?
The flag is the,
yeah.
is red with a yellow hammer and sickle right in the middle of it.
Yeah, they're like pretty out in the open. We are communists.
Yeah.
But
at this point.
You know, maybe Pol Pot in his own maniacal way is just tricking the communists into giving them money. Because he really doesn't follow. I mean, I know every communist thing.
All of them.
All of them end like this. At some point, the Soviet Union, like all of it ends.
Bad news bears.
Millions of China. They all end with millions of people dying. And this happens in Cambodia on a smaller stage. But I mean, smaller stage, 1.5 to 3 million people dead. Dead. Small stage. It's crazy.
When it's 25%.
25% what?
Of the Cambodian people that
yeah.
died. So it's, sure, it's a small number compared to maybe some of the other genocides, but when you're taking out a fourth of your people,
your
it's
own
not
people.
Exactly small.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
It's crazy. We'll get there. So, you know, he takes his time. They just got bombed. U.S. is kind of... Well, actually, not yet. Sorry. So they just get bombed, and he's taking his time, building it up. He's camping. By the way, Prince, I forgot this. During this time, this is what happened to Pol Pot. The Prince in 1963, I believe, he kicks him out of the country. He's like a leftist president, but he's like, this is too left. Communism, not about that. We are gonna... that was Roxy. We are gonna get this out of our country. Okay, so he makes him flee. He flees. He goes into the jungles and like, where was he in the jungle? Do you know that?
I thought it was Eastern Cambodia.
Wherever. He goes and flees and hides in the jungle. But by the way, when they're there, they camp out with the Viet Cong, and the Viet Cong teaches them a lot of these guerrilla warfare tactics that they're using.
Mm-hmm.
So he's building this army, all the same ideologies. He is gaining himself as a leader, as a speaker. People are attending his speaking. Like, he's having seminars. He had seminars for people. They would just go and listen to him fucking speak.
Yeah, he had the party's second official conference in 1963.
That was like when he emerged as the leader, I almost believe. But anyway, now he comes to 1968. He grew his forces, and he begins his own revolution. Okay? Great speaker, by the way. And some people were saying, like, you know, they felt personable with him. They're like, this guy's like a father to me.
Mm-hmm.
Pol Pot. He's my father. I would die for Pol Pot.
Are you speaking?
No, I'm not speaking this. I'm saying what this guy is speaking, who's listening to him, because he had a lot of people that were listening to him.
As any dictatorship kind of starts, though,
mm-hmm.
they get the influence probably from the poorer people, like the farmers and the people in the woods that are further away from mm-hmm. the city, that they probably aren't getting fed as much of the rest of the information, so they'll believe whatever they hear.
Whatever they believe. So after the bombing, the prince cuts off any ties with the U.S. Done with the U.S. Like, what the fuck? You guys just bombed the shit out of us.
Mm-hmm.
Not cool.
Not cool. Not cool. Cuts out. He goes to, in fact, he goes to the Soviets, and he goes, I don't know if he went to China. I don't think he went to China. But he goes to the Soviets for aid. He is out.
Narodom.
He's out on this U.S. shit. He's like, we, you know, we just were a colony. Like, we were just a colony. We do not care to go from being a French colony to an American colony. We don't give a shit. We don't want any of that. Goes to the communists, asks for aid, and they're really kind of making a push against American colonism. This makes, by the way, Khmer Rouge These damn names. Khmer Rouge, it's starting to become a serious political figure. The Communist Party is growing. And a civil war breaks out. In Cambodia. That was weird. That just did that, and then that did that right after that.
Man.
But,
Civil War.
Yes.
1968,
there was a civil war. Cambodia, there, by the way, this is what really happened when I started reading about Pol Pot. About 75% of it, I just got pissed at the U.S. government. I did. At the CIA. Because what they do here is a playbook that has been seen so frequently in the past 70 years.
Exactly what they did in Afghanistan with Bin Laden. Or the whatever.
Not Bin Laden.
Well, the
Saddam Hussein, they did. I mean, they do it to a lot of, they've done it to a lot of countries since like the 60s. They've been doing it since.
Or they prop it up as a pawn and say, we're going to use a figurehead.
They have a coup. So while there's a general named Lon Nol. We should have a counter for how many of these I fuck up. Lon Nol, he is a general. While the prince is away, Lionel's not into this. He's not into the communism shit. While the prince is in France, he is talking with the United States. Specifically, I mean, I don't want to get checked. Maybe this isn't real. The Central Intelligence Agency, the United States. And they overthrow him. There is a coup d'etat on the prince. And Lionel takes over Cambodia. Phnom Phen, capital.
Yep.
It falls, and he is now the head of state. And a civil war breaks out because the prince is like, what do I do? Who do I go to? Your boy Pol Pot goes to Khmer Rouge. A civil war commences between a coup-backed, or United States coup, Lon Nol, versus now the Soviet, the Communist Party. This was all America's fault.
Boil your
fucking beans, dude. You're not mad at that?
That's how it is, man. I don't know.
You spread yourself too thin. You can't get involved in every country, so.
All right. Yeah. Another coup. CIA orchestrates military coup, and then while doing this, you know, they also secret. Like, by the way, the Cambodia thing, that when they bombed them, that was the first time the articles of impeachment were written for Nixon. That was even before Watergate. The articles of impeachment were in because he just bombed Cambodia out of nowhere. Khmer Rouge, they get the boys of the Viet Cong in the North Vietnam, and they start going to war with Lon Nol, and they're trying to overthrow them, and they do. They take back the Cambodian government. Huh?
Sihanouk joined force with Khmer
Rouge? Correct. He switched sides. He switched sides and had the Khmer Rouge fight for him.
Cool.
So, by the way, over the next 4 years, Cambodia, this is America, is now in a Cambodian war. They are fighting. They are throwing U.S. troops. They take 70,000 U.S. troops, South Vietnamese and U.S. They go into Cambodia. They fight the Viet Cong and now the Cambodian Khmer Rouge, Pol Pot in Cambodia.
So it's basically the U.S. This is now the second Indochina war.
And it's becoming huge.
It's China and North Vietnam and Pol Pot.
And the Soviets, because they're kind of backing the prince.
And Soviets. Against U.S. and Lon Nol.
It's communist versus anti-communism.
As the story we've heard many times. This says the U.S. dropped three times as many bombs on Cambodia during the conflict as they had on Japan during World War II.
500 in the 4 years they fought, 500 tons of bombs were dropped on Cambodia.
You know what they didn't drop on Cambodia?
What?
A nuke.
Didn't drop a nuke.
He dropped two on Japan, though. So
yeah, Japan.
Nixon doesn't have that on his record.
Doesn't have that. Doesn't have dropping a nuke.
That's a positive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except this also says...
How many civilians died, by the way? By the way, when we were blowing up Cambodia, we were not, like, deliberating anything. We were bombing the fuck out of everything.
Yeah.
We were... It's savagery.
It doesn't say how many, but it does say the bombing primarily affected civilians.
Yeah, exactly. And this became huge news in American society. Like, you know the Kent State protests?
Yeah.
And the people that died there? People think that's kind of Vietnam, and they look at it. That wasn't about Vietnam. It was about U.S. now involving themselves in Cambodia. So this was, people were heated. And in 75, they back out of Cambodia.
I'm going to give an recruitment update on the Khmer Rouge.
Let's hear it.
1970, they had about 12,000 soldiers. In 1972, 2 years later, they had over 48,000.
And I would imagine just like how, you know, Al-Qaeda and ISIS get a lot of their troops. There's radicals after they get bombed the fuck out of. They become radicals against the other side.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. There you go.
This is officially when he starts calling himself Pol Pot in 1970.
Pol Pot. Okay. So that's when it came. Pol Pot became Pol Pot.
Yep.
But this whole thing, orchestrated by the involved overthrowing the government, bombing Cambodia, all of it orchestrated by Henry Kissinger and fucking Richard Nixon, everything. But in 1975, they back out of Cambodia. This 73, I believe Vietnam ends. They take troops out. 75, Cambodia falls to the Viet Cong and Khmer Rouge, and Pol Pot is now in control of Cambodia. The dude who called it out, called a shot. Well, I guess he didn't call a shot because he named himself that after.
Pol Pot.
Yeah, Pol Pot.
He named himself in 1970, and now it's 1975, and Pol Pot is the dude.
So they win. Pol Pot is the leader. Leader of Cambodia. People are pumped because it's like civil war just ended. Nobody's going to die anymore. This is awesome. We don't have to die anymore in a war.
Mm-hmm.
We can just live.
We can see our leader's thoughts come to fruition. Let's see what we've been fighting
Let's see what Pol Pot has for us.
He'll bring us out, our God.
Or this dude, maybe he's something, dude. Maybe he can help us. So what Pol Pot does, one of the first things he does is he goes to the urban areas of Cambodia, including Phnom Penh, the capital. Mm-hmm. And he goes to a lot of the urban areas, and he starts telling the citizens, there is about to be a U.S. bombing over us. U.S. bombs. You remember last time, 500 tons? They're about to hit us again. So let's start getting out of here. Let's start getting... We're going to evacuate. So he evacuates all of these people. 2.5 million people. He evacuates out of their homes.
Mm-hmm.
He really wanted to get back to a grassroots type of Cambodia. None of these smart people, these education. Why would they need to be educated? Mm-hmm. Why would they need to be doctors, lawyers, you know, intellectuals? What his parents wanted him to be, by the way. Why would we need this? Let's just all be farmers again. Let's farm rice paddies and let's do this.
He wanted to bring them back to when Cambodia was great. Because, like, they built Angkor Wat. Well, they...
Make Cambodia great again?
Like, Angkor Wat is one of, like, the biggest temples in the world. And it was for, like, 600 years. So why would they not want to be something amazing like that again when they're currently just getting destroyed by other countries and not...
Yes.
Moving
Why
forward.
Would they not want to?
They've just been in control ever since they gave up that lifestyle.
So he's kind of, maybe he's got a good idea, but he's also kind of retarded.
Yeah.
I don't know. So he strips all these people of their homes, their property, 2.5 million people, brings them to the fields, and is like, "Yo, you're farmers now."
Mm-hmm.
Da 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 da. Farmers. That's the commercial, right?
Yeah.
J.K. Simmons is in that. They're all farmers now, and they are going to farm. And if they don't like it, what's going to happen to you, man?
I have a guess.
What?
You're dead.
Well, they wouldn't just kill you sometimes. Oh, maybe they would. Maybe if you were really smart, like you were real uppity about it, you were a fucking doctor, you're dead, dude. Pol Pot walked up and said, "Hey, doc." Sometimes, swear to God, even look like dressing like an intellectual. Yeah. When you think, how would you dress like an intellectual? Wearing glasses.
Yep.
He would see someone wearing glasses, he'd be like, "You're fucking dead, dude."
Watches was a big thing. Yeah. If they people had watches or technology bracelets.
You think you're smart? You're dead. So he would kill them, and then he would come and he would tell people, "You're farmers." And if they didn't comply, they were tortured until they did comply, or they died.
And then turned into fertilizer for the farms.
Yeah, that's right, yep.
Yep. Well, I mean, fertilizer, it makes sense they're fertilizer. While he was over his reign, by the way, he kills. We're just going to say the numbers early, but we'll talk about kind of everything he does. 1.5 to 3 million people, 20,000, which they call the killing fields, 20,000 mass graves of just person after person. You know, Douglas MacArthur, I had fun fucking reading about Douglas MacArthur. This was a bummer. This whole thing was a bummer. I didn't like reading about
it. It was a lot of bumming.
It was bumming. Every side of it.
I will say Pol Pot was optimistic about his plan to put everyone in the fields.
Yeah, he thought he was making a perfect country.
He said his intention was not to exterminate the people. His intention was to triple the country's population, hoping it could reach 15 to 20 million.
Great guy.
It did not do that.
Yeah.
It did much worse.
Oh, no, no. It did much, much worse.
But it does say the majority of Cambodia avoided starvation, except some people in the northwest Cambodia did starve to death.
Well, probably they avoided starvation because they died before they
working them to death. Yeah, they died. These people that lived in a city in a nice, luxurious as you can get.
Yeah.
Here, come now, work yourself 12 hours a day, bent over picking rice. Have you ever seen the people that work on those fields?
No.
They are shaped like an L. They're all just like old women, and it's just their backs. You'll see them walking down the streets, and it's because all they are all day, they're just hunched over, and it just destroys your body.
If you didn't do this, you were sent to a detention center, and it's somewhat like there was this one detention center. It was called S21, and it held 18 to 20,000 people, and there was only 12 known survivors. Mm-hmm. So people died. A lot of people died, and if they didn't like farming, they better move on. You want to also hear things that are outlawed, by the way? List of things that are outlawed. I'll give this to you real quick. Money.
Mm-hmm. Not great.
Private property.
Mm-hmm. Communism.
Jewelry.
Mm-hmm. Communism.
Gambling. Sorry, Austin. Religion. Sorry, Ben.
Tough.
Most reading material. Mm-hmm. Everything was pretty much...
Sports.
Sports.
Yep. Couldn't speak other languages either. They weren't allowed to learn or
speak
other
languages.
Would
they
speak
French?
Cambodian,
I believe.
You
probably had to speak French. Bitch.
And you could only travel with the permission of the Khmer Rouge. They also, this is like fucking, what's the book where they burn the books?
Oh, Fahrenheit 451.
This is like that shit. They, Cambodians were encouraged to talk about themselves in the plural we form rather than the singular I form. They really...
It was North Korea.
Yeah.
But...
Before North
Korea. And it goes back to that same thing, is that he just wanted to remove technology and was like, we used to be able to do it without this. Why can't we do it again?
Well, you know, it's North Korea, but North Korea is China. It's all the Mao playbook. And they all seem to come from those Mao teachings, because Mao, it happened with Mao's people, happened with, we think, unless Kim Jong-un's being serious and they're the best fucking thing ever. Imagine it's happened in North Korea, and then it's happening here.
They didn't have any cases of COVID in North Korea.
You run a country. That's how you run a country.
What they told us.
Never. I bet they never shut down.
You basically live shut down.
Yeah.
I have an update.
Yep.
1976, they renamed themselves the Democratic Kampuchea.
Which is funny.
Update, they changed their flag. Maybe we could put a little graphic of the new flag on there.
Okay, I will.
It looks pretty fucking weird. I don't, like, is that a temple?
Yeah.
Like, it looks like a spaceship.
That's Angkor Wat.
Okay, it's Angkor Wat. I'm not very cultured.
What's Angkor Wat? Explain that to us.
It is like this temple that is, like, the city is, it's like so massive. It's basically like, it takes like 5 days to walk around the whole temple. It's so big. And it's like, that's like where they had built that like 600-700 years ago. And it was this like revolutionary, biggest temple in the world kind of thing. So why can't we do that now?
That's not the temple that holds like 5,000 skulls from his reign, right? Because there is one temple that does.
I'm not sure if that's a temple. I know what you're talking about, but I don't think that's in that specifically. I think they just had a lot of buildings that had 5,000 skulls in it.
Yeah.
With how they didn't know what to do with them all.
So, but it's funny he named himself the Democratic Kampuchea, because they're not democratic.
Not much democracy was going on.
No, so I wonder why he named them that. He was this whole communist thing. And
yeah,
like,
changed.
Nope, this is, we are Democrats now. These people are all voting for me. I'm the best. And then, you know, to children... By the way, children were just taken from the home and enlisted in the military, ages like as young as you can get.
Yep.
You got 8-year-olds going in. They're just taken from their homes. And it's not just how he's killing these people, but he's mismanaging other shit. Like, famine breaks out because everything is just so poorly mismanaged, and he's retarded with how he's dictating all these things. He's killing these people, and a lot of people start dying from starvation.
And I also read during his time, I mean, they were, so the Vietnam War and like fighting is still kind of going on with the Viet Cong on their eastern border. Mm-hmm. So like they are still kind of fighting. And I read that while they were in this period of famine, they were still giving, they were trading food with China for weapons while their people are already dying,
yeah,
so that they could fight these battles. And like, this is one of the periods where China started coming out of their like big famine problem that they had had under
Mao.
And
yeah. So he sucks.
Yeah.
He's pretty bad at this job. And you know, during his reign, 1.5 to 3 million people died. It was a literal genocide. Mm-hmm. Killed all, genocide of his own people. The people that are asking him to fucking create a structure for them to live in that they can be in safe, and he's murdering these people. And you know, things were all bad, you know, the famine, all that, and he's fighting with, they're fighting with the Vietnamese on the border. The Viet Cong, the guys that are communists, they beat America, backed out.
Yeah.
Vietnam were communists because they won the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
So they're fighting with the Vietnamese now. I believe Chinese backed Vietnamese. I think he almost,
North Vietnam,
I think,
yeah.
He becomes so, he
oh,
loses.
Oh, China backed, stopped backing them too?
I believe so. Because he starts killing like ethnic groups like Hitler. He kills Chinese people because they're Chinese.
He, yeah, it's not great.
it's crazy. It's psychotic.
Yeah.
Because he also, when they started founding, like when he took over initially and like started his new like Cambodian communism deal.
Mm-hmm.
He said, like, no foreign aid. And, like, the only thing he took was to trade with China.
Hmm.
Was, and then, like, no other foreign aid. Like, he cut off everything. He wanted Cambodia to be, like, self-sufficient. We know how that worked out.
Yeah. It's kind of, I don't know if it's exactly similar, but, like, during the same time period, like, Albania was the most communist country. And they were, like, USSR used to support them. And then they were, like, you guys aren't communist enough. So it's kind of the same situation where he's like, you guys aren't crazy enough. Why aren't you massacring everyone? We'll figure this out on our own.
Yeah, but the Chinese did, which, I mean, Mao backed. Mao did the same thing. The Chinese still backs, again, I don't know what. They were causing skirmishes. And he doesn't have a lot of power. Like, Cambodia's a country, and
yeah,
he's controlling it with a iron fist he is controlling them. But they're not a big country, so they get into skirmish. Viet Cong are fighting them. 1979, they have enough. They send in like 60,000 troops, air and, you know, artillery behind them. And they take, in less than a month, they take back Cambodia.
Yeah.
They kick out fucking Pol Pot. He flees and they take Cambodia.
Yep.
Pol Pot's fleeing. He's in the jungle again, wanting to start up his communist regime. How do you feel? Feel sad? Feel happy?
Probably good for Cambodia as a whole. But yeah, I mean, well, when you have your whole country starving, it might be kind of hard to fight and defend anything. And you don't have technology either. Kind of makes it difficult to do anything.
Maybe the Vietnamese were backed by the Soviets. You know what that was? I think the Viet Cong were backed by the Soviets. I think the China was kind of playing both sides, and I think they were funding Pol Pot and they were funding the Viet Cong. China's smart like that. China really gets politically savvy with where they put their money and how they, you know, throw their power around. Mm-hmm. So,
can I backtrack a little bit?
Please.
Backtrack to Austin's comment on how Albania kind of said, USSR, you aren't communist enough. The quote from Pol Pot basically says the exact same thing. Standard of the Bolshevik Standard of the Bolshevik Revolution of November 7, 1917 was raised very high, but Khrushchev pulled it down. The standard of Mao's revolution in 1949 stands high until now, but it's faded and is wavering. It's no longer firm. The standard of the Cambodian Revolution of April 1975, raised by Comrade Pol Pot. This dude's talking about himself in the third person.
Just like Douglas.
Is brilliant red, full of determination, wonderfully firm, and wonderfully clear-sighted. The whole world admires us. and it sings our praises and it learns from us.
Yeah, that's how crazy they are. They're so brainwashed that they're like, oh, these guys are crazy, but they're still not even good enough. We need to be better.
There's a lot of brainwashing going on. The people under Pol Pot are brainwashed. Yeah. Like, even after he leaves, he flees the country, there's young Cambodians that are still wanting to fight for Pol Pot and get these the Viet Cong out of their country. Mm-hmm. Idiots. They get out. I mean, how can you get brainwashed when you're killing millions of people, just like the Nazis did, just like whatever. By the way, this is crazy. That makes me so mad at the U.S. again. There's this maniacal, fucking ruthless guy killing millions of people, and I'm getting mad at the U.S. They back Pol Pot. After he's murdered, maybe they didn't know.
Surely they knew, yeah. Right?
He's murdered millions of people, his own people. They are now backing Pol Pot against the Viet Cong because they, you know, they're against communist Russia. They just lost. They're still against Viet Cong. They start backing Pol Pot. Crazy. And Vietnamese are backed by the Soviets. Again, slowly, over time, you know, they dissolve the Communist Party. The Khmer Rouge continues fighting. Pol Pot gives his support, but he backs off of it. You know, he retires. Pol Pot decides, I'm going to, you know, take a break after killing everybody.
Yeah.
Maybe just look at the sunset every once in a while.
Yeah, kick his feet up.
Open a beer, chillax. That was a nice career.
Yeah.
He does this, and then, you know, he gets arrested by I believe the Viet Cong arrested him, correct? 1997. He gets arrested. This is when this guy lived. Our parents were alive while he was slaughtering millions of people. Mm-hmm. Crazy. But he gets arrested, gets put under house arrest when he's like 70. When they arrest him, by the way, he's so feeble. He's old. He's feeble. He's like 70. Can't even walk when they catch him. Put him under house arrest, dies of old age. Or has a heart attack when he's sleeping. The most peaceful way to go out, I'd imagine. Mm. That's how Pol Pot goes.
Sounds like he deserved that.
He deserved the easiest way to die. See, I'm bummed. That was a bummer of an episode. I read characters like Douglas, and I get so excited for America. Mm-hmm. And then I read stuff like this, and I get sad. I get sad with people out there, and I get sad with America. I get sad. This was a sad episode. You know, and maybe Douglas was trying. Douglas, at the end of his career, I'm sorry to get back into Douglas MacArthur. I've just been thinking so much about him. At the end of his career, this is a through and through military guy, and he's advising JFK against the guys who are in charge of the military. He's like, yo, this is a guy who wanted to nuke China. He's like, yo, get out of these other wars. Why are you in Vietnam? Why are we fighting in Cuba? But I don't know what happened. I think JFK, I think there was a turning point, and JFK was assassinated, and there was a coup, and demons took over our country. Honestly. Warmongering demons. Sorry, I don't want to get shut down here and call my country. I love America. I do. The ideologies of America, what it was built upon. USA. Stars and bars. Okay? Badasses. But these wars, I ain't feeling it. You know, I'm reading this, and now Iran and Israel in a war, and Russia and Ukraine in a war, and this was just a sad episode. So thank you for picking Pol Pot, whoever that was.
Can I give one last Pol Pot?
Yeah.
Fun fact?
Quote.
No. Fun fact, Pol Pot.
On his deathbed, Pol Pot said, "My conscience is clear. Everything I did for my country." And he said, in reference to millions dying, he said, "To say that millions died is too much. You know, for the other people, the babies, the young ones, I didn't order them to be killed." I don't know what that means. Maybe they just happened to die while he was the leader. Maybe that's his
This was a weird one, because I don't know what turned him. Like, Hitler, you can see, was in World War I. Like, saw crazy tragedy, but he probably saw all of his friends around him die. He probably went mentally insane there. This guy had was a fine life.
Yeah, he had a daughter.
Daughter.
While everything's going on, he just
Dude, it was that
lived his life.
France trip. He went to France and then Yugoslavia, came back a different person.
This was after World War II.
Yeah.
What happened, bro? What happened where this guy turned into a psychopath? Because he wasn't really, like, looking at some of the childhoods of all these people in history, this guy had a pretty easy go of things. And God damn, he was a meanie.
You wonder if they just start getting a little bit of power and then they're just like, let's just see how much further I can keep going with this. And people just keep following him. And they're like, I've committed this far. Why not go all in?
I don't know, dude.
And then,
I mean, they would just
become reality, and
they would just torture. That was their thing. Like, literally every detention center, they had a torture manual.
Yeah.
And there were people that, like, some of the guards were talking about, like, you know, they're really interrogation tactics, but when we start doing them, it just kind of always ends up as torture. They just tortured people. It was crazy.
Yeah.
That was Pol Pot. Pol Pot. Did you guys like that? Have fun talking about Pol Pot? Because I'm pretty bummed out, honestly.
We should pick, next episode, we should do maybe something a little more positive, and then maybe some names we can actually fucking pronounce.
Baby, we need to work on our pronunciation. This is the tip of the iceberg, dude. We're going to be in China doing interviews. We probably should stop talking about how horrific their government was.
is
all of the above. I mean, literally the last episode, Ben ended it saying, in the grand scheme of things, nuking China, not that bad. It was hilarious.
I can't say, in the grand scheme of things, Pol Pot, pretty fucking bad.
Yeah, Pol Pot was one of the worst human beings to ever live. And he lived 40 years ago. He was doing this stuff. This isn't Genghis Khan, dude. This is the 70s.
Do you know some people?
Star Wars was out.
Yeah, fuck.
This was during Star Wars.
Maybe he saw it and was like, Darth Vader, he relates to that.
No material. You think he got the material?
That's how North Korea works. The people aren't allowed to see it. They can, I'm sure Kim Jong-un fucking watches whatever he wants. He's friends with Dennis Rodman.
He's a huge basketball fan.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
You think he doesn't see what, he can see whatever he wants?
He definitely sees whatever he wants.
You think he watched the interview?
The interview started a war almost, dude. North Korea hacked Sony and released like so many emails because of that, or not emails, like files, movies. They hacked Sony because of the interview. They literally almost started, I mean, didn't almost start a war, but cyber attacks happened because of the interview.
I have one last thing about Pol Pot.
Let's hear it.
Postmortem, Pol Pot, cult. Some people still love Pol Pot, apparently. There's still some Pol Pot followers. It says people, my source may not be the most accurate.
Don't reveal your sources. We never reveal our sources.
But I'm going to say, this is a direct quote. It says, people go to Pol Pot's grave and they dig through his ashes and try and get his bones and they make little charms out of them. Then they say they dream about Pol Pot. And whenever you dream about Pol Pot, you win the lottery or you get cured from a disease. And then people go to his grave and chant, all your children are here, Grandpa.
No. I'm going to start that over.
All your children are here, Grandpa. Don't say we've forgotten you.
Where the fuck did you find this? This is... I can't believe you saved this for the end.
It's after his death.
People are still doing this to this day? Or did this stop a few years ago? People were like, maybe we should have.
I hope it stopped. I'm not sure.
That'd be funny if when things started getting woke, like they were like, we should probably chill. We should chill and go to Pol Pot's grave.
We put that in the description. All your children are here, Grandpa.
Yeah. That would be the name of the episode. So that's interesting.
It's like a cult. Well, listen, like the common farmers.
There's neo-Nazis.
There's crazy people. There are women. Something. There's women who like get letters from serial killers and then like masturbate thinking about having their babies and they want to like be in love with serial killers. They get married to serial killers. John Wayne Gacy, Ted Bundy. They have women that want to marry. There's a lot of crazy people out there. And, you know, you think it's weird to go to Pol Pot's grave and wish that your grandchildren are happy and you win the lottery or whatever the fuck. But think about what's weird. Pol Pot, weird. Just weird that someone can be twisted in such a way where they would want to harm their own people like that. He gets granted through all of this, nothing. He gets granted the power and he genocides his people.
But he thinks he did a good job.
He's crazy. Something's, there's people, this is a bad guy we did. This is the first, I mean, the first real, Caligula was pretty bad, but that's 2,000 years ago, and who the fuck knows what happens. This was 40 years ago. This was a bad guy. Crazy. And that's my thoughts. I don't even like speaking on him anymore. What a meanie.
Any closing thoughts?
Pol Pot is a meanie. I think we can end it there.
Let's end it there. That's about an hour. That was a good episode. We'll figure out next episode what to talk about. I don't know. We'll figure it out. I'm still deep on Japan right now. Listen to Dan Carlin's Japan podcast. Boy, those guys were.
Shout out Dan Carlin.
But, you know, they didn't kill their own people. They killed the Chinese. They were very mean to the Chinese, but at least it's. I'm not even going to speak in the rest of my thoughts.
Till next time.
Yeah, Pol Pot's an asshole.
Pol Pot is a meanie.
Yep. Goodbye.